Welcome to Talking Hoosier Baseball. We are recording this on Monday, May 12th, 2025. I am Carl James, joined by Chris Feeney and Cassidy Palmer. Indiana kept up the great play from the week before, winning the rivalry series with Purdue 2-1. Both wins featured quality pitching starts. Ryan Kraft had the number 25 best game score in the country on Friday, tossing 7 shutout innings. Cole Gilley made a one-inning scoreless relief appearance in that game and came back on Sunday to throw a quality start of his own. The one letdown of the weekend was a Saturday game that saw the Hoosiers unable to get a big hit despite having a decent number of base runners on the paths. Well, it's been a while, but Cass finally made it back to the BART for a series, and she chose a fun one. Cass, what was it like to come back to your alma mater?
Oh, well, it was a lot of fun. It was so great seeing everybody, even realizing that some of the people I worked with when I ushered IU Athletics are still there, still going strong. That was fun to see and catch up with some of them, seeing all of y'all, especially when it's as gorgeous as it was this weekend. There are a few places anywhere as nice to spend a few hours as the BART. It's just a special place, and taking the series against Purdue is always that nice little cherry on top. If I can only get to one series a year, beating Purdue is a good one to come to. So that was really nice, and I'll always give a shout out to Austin Render and all of the work he does with the play-by-play on the radio. There's just something different being there in person. So it was nice to have that opportunity. Doesn't always come around with some work schedules this time of year, but I'm very glad it worked this time. So Chris, we saw some great play this week. Who's earned your red belts?
Well, Cass, you get the honorary red belt for bringing the weather. I got to say that. I mean, with that picture perfect. And I feel like whenever you come, it's nice out. Like the Rutgers one when we clinched was nice. To see that any weekend you're here, I feel like you bring good weather. Now, maybe it's because it's usually towards the end of the year or for whatever reason. But, hey, you still get credit for it. Honorary red belt for Cass. That was beautiful weather all 3 days. I wasn't able to make the third day, but it was obvious it was a nice weather day. So collect that red belt for you. Put it on the website. Put it somewhere. It's yours. For the Alex Dickerson Award for the offensive, I'm going Cooper Malamazian. He started off our scoring on Friday, second inning. He had a double and an RBI in the third inning. He's got a single and 2 RBIs, you know, and he drove in the only run we had on Saturday. And then he waits till the end to walk off Purdue on Sunday. So I'd say each game getting 2 hits and getting some timely RBIs, which was, like Carl said, was really the only blemish on the weekend was that we couldn't get them on Saturday. Cooper definitely earned the Alex Dickerson Award. And he decided to double up, and he took Tony Butler Award too. Hell of a weekend for him at short. I mean, just watching him play, the moves he makes, the footworks, the throws from deep at short, coming in on balls. I mean, there was some spectacular, like, one-moment plays. Like, Will Moore had a great play that I saw. And then you got, you know, TC, you know, Tyler Cerny made a great play up the middle. But for the consistency of the weekend, I gave it to Cooper Malamazian because it was just, I mean, the kid's the goods. He really is. Rocket arm. Makes the plays, and it seems like, I don't know if he does it on purpose, but he just puts the ball right where Jake needs it every time. Like he doesn't make Jake work. You know, it's just boom, boom, there it is. And so Cooper picks up two belts in one day, and I really like this worked out the way it did. The Joey Donato Award, you know, Ryan Kraft, last time throwing at the BART for all the innings we've seen him throw, whether they were ones where he came in the second inning and, like, finished entire games, or he came in late in games when we needed some big outs through his career. Ryan Kraft was a bulldog as a Hoosier. And I know that every season wasn't perfect for him. I know there was injuries. I know there was times he wishes that maybe the outcomes were better. But I've been here a while. We've all been here a while. Sometimes when people get hurt and they just say, you know what, I'm okay. I'm going to finish school, and then we never see him pitch again. Or they, not Ryan Kraft. This guy comes back for the season he's having this year is special. He threw seven shutout innings. It gets him to 3-1, three wins on the year, a 3.48 ERA, and a save. I mean, he's just been outstanding. This was an 85-pitch performance. It's just, you know, was it four strikeouts, one walk, five hits, no runs. And it's not like it was smooth sailing either. He had a couple guys at third. He had some guys on base. He would knuckle down and get out of it. Just Ryan, you know, watching Ryan do his thing. He's a special dude, and I'm going to miss him on the mound at the bar, just like we've missed a lot of our guys that have come through. But Joey Donato Award absolutely going to Ryan Kraft. So that's Cooper Malmaison with the double dip with the defensive and the offensive, and then Ryan Kraft to take one on as he walks off the mound at the Bart for the last time. Really special, I thought. So now we're going to kick it over to Carl. There was a lot of action as far as the Big Ten with you know, it was the second to last weekend, and a lot of things affected, whether it was placement to the tournament, whether it was top four. And nobody better than Carl to kind of lay this out in layman's terms for us so we can kind of know what to root for and how it went.
Yeah, there was a lot, and it was another upheaval. I mean, you just look at our pick-ems. They were just bad again. I mean, there's no other way to put it. They were just bad. It was we had two people go 2-5 on the week. I went 3-4. So yeah, we were again 2 weeks in a row, our group. And I'd like to think we're not all that stupid as a group. our group was underwater in picking series the last 2 weeks, both weeks. That's just nuts. But I think a lot of it is just
wanted chaos.
Yeah.
I did want that. I think it also shows that the teams in the Big Ten weren't going to roll over. You know, we didn't have these gimme just, you know, sweep, 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 sweep. And that makes for a better conference. And I'm glad it happened.
But yeah, I mean, none of us picked Michigan State to go into USC and win that series. And, you know, you kind of figured that they definitely had a shot on opening day with Jerwa, but they won two games in that series. And to go on the road out west, and that has been tough for any of the traditional Big Ten schools to win a series against a West Coast team, much less do it at their place. So tip of the cap to Michigan State on what they accomplished. So that was the one that comes out in my mind the most. It's just been a really great conference, you know. I mean, Ohio State even got a win in the week. So now we kind of go to the standings and where things are sitting. At the top, this is going to be a great finishing weekend with Oregon going to Iowa. Oregon is two games down. So Oregon can pass Iowa by sweeping the series. If they were, and Oregon's been known to sweep some tough series. They swept Oregon State in four games. So that's pretty impressive right there. And Iowa's got, for their purposes, they've got to win the conference. They've got a one-game lead on UCLA. UCLA's got Northwestern. I mean, we almost have to predict that's going to be a sweep. And if it is, you know, Iowa's just got to win the series to take a share of the Big Ten title. So Iowa's got a tough task on their hands right now. But the one thing they do have going for them is they're at home, and they've got a pretty rambunctious crowd there. They'll have that place absolutely packed. It's going to be a big series. It's going to be very entertaining for that to be the end of the season there. But there's interesting ones all over the place. I mean, just the series that Chris and I are going to go to, Indiana at Michigan. Michigan's at sixth in the conference. Indiana's at seventh. And there's going to be some maneuvering there for seeding. Now, the one piece that I was talking about over the past weekend dealt with Indiana clinching that spot in the tournament. Now, you don't want to be the 12 seed. I get that. But it, being a 12 seed is a lot better than not being in the tournament. And I don't think that's really going to happen. But mathematically speaking, it still can. And you have to assume that Indiana's pitching is going to have to, they're going to have to stick to the standard pitching plan until they have absolutely clinched that they're getting in the tournament, because they need to win the tournament in order to advance to an NCAA regional. And but you can't win the tournament if you're not there. So I've been trying to play out all the different scenarios. If you were looking on social and via the website on Sunday, I gave some scenarios out. I went a little deeper this time. Let me share something with you here. So never mind the Sunday part, because I did this before Sunday's games, and that's not important. So this is referring to next week, and I've made it as simple as I can. So the white spots are the ones where I can change the values, and it'll automatically. So example, if I'm in Indiana, if I put one, if you look at Michigan, you'll notice that Michigan drops to 2-1. If I change Indiana back to 0, Michigan changed to 3-0. So it's all set for who everybody's playing. And then it has the final record and the win-loss percentage. The coloring here is if Indiana is ahead of that team, it shows up in green. If they are equal to or behind that team, it shows up in red. The key number here is 5. For Indiana to be in the tournament, 5 of these things need to be green. So right now, I start with the nightmare scenario. The nightmare scenario is that Michigan sweeps Indiana, Nebraska, Illinois, Michigan State, Rutgers, and Northwestern all sweep their series. I think we all talked about this earlier. Northwestern is going to UCLA, who is playing for a Big Ten title and to host. I don't see Northwestern sweeping that series. But the other piece here, though, is that's in the nightmare scenario. Now, the thing is, that's including Rutgers sweeping Maryland. Ohio State is mathematically not able to pass IU. Neither is Minnesota, and neither is Purdue. Maryland still can. So if we do that, let's say Maryland sweeps Rutgers, let's see how that changes things. So if you'll notice, there were some changes over here. However, you still ended up with 4 greens. So let's just make sure nothing in the middle changes. So let's make it just one Rutgers win. Still have 4 green. Let's make it 2 Rutgers win. You still have 4 green. So basically, what that means is Indiana will finish mathematically ahead of either Rutgers or Maryland. We don't know which right now, but they will finish ahead of one of those. So now Indiana only needs to clinch against one more team. And I'm picking on Northwestern. So if Northwestern wins one of the games against UCLA, they're still red. But if you'll notice, Indiana gets swept. Northwestern wins one game, 467, 467. It's a tie. And then it gets into some really convoluted tiebreakers, but I'm pretty sure Indiana wins those tiebreakers. But it's not one of those things that's mathematical, because then you can start getting into, well, these other teams getting 2 wins, and then suddenly you have all kinds of 467s lined up. It gets really complicated.
Out of curiosity,
Yes.
because I know that in two-way ties, head-to-head record becomes a thing. Does
Yes.
that count out of conference
No.
games against those
No.
teams?
That
Like we played Northwestern
means
once.
that, yeah, that is a non-conference game. It does not factor into this in any way, shape, or form.
That's what I figured, but I
Well,
figured
I
I would
say that
clarify. It
it's a component of RPI, and
right.
RPI is the final tiebreaker. If nothing else works, RPI is the final tiebreaker.
It
And
is not
yes,
a
that has a
standalone.
teeny tiny component of that Indiana Northwestern game from early in the season does factor into the RPI, but that is the only way in which it factors in and is a very insignificant piece. Okay, so Northwestern, let's say they win two against UCLA. And most importantly, let's say we're talking about Friday and Saturday. So they lose on Thursday. And then let's say Indiana goes ahead and wins Thursday night against Michigan. Oh, and I actually, sorry, bring back the rest of the nightmare. Everyone else back to, well, Rutgers doesn't matter. But so when you do that, so all of those are bad. And then you have Indiana just winning one game. That's it. And Northwestern just losing one game. Northwestern goes to green because Indiana is at 500. Northwestern, the best they can do is 467. So with that, Indiana clinches. So that's basically the scenario Indiana's hoping for, is that UCLA beats Northwestern on Thursday night, Indiana beats Michigan on Thursday night, and then it's mathematical. Indiana is in the Big Ten tournament for sure, no matter any other scenario. They don't have to rely on anybody else other than that one loss. Now, again, multiple other ways. Indiana wins the series against Michigan State. Against Michigan, Indiana's in. UCLA wins the series against Northwestern. Indiana's in. So there's several different ways this happens, not to mention what happens if one of these teams here ends up losing their series. That'll also add to it. So there's multiple ways. I would be beyond shocked if Indiana somehow ended up on the wrong side of this. So that part I am not concerned about. All right.
Seeding, we could, technically speaking, if I'm looking at this correctly, we could be as high as 5, potentially?
Yes.
And then, again, theoretically, as low as 12. Or, theoretically, as
low as 13.
Low as 13, but...
3 games to go. 3 games to go. We could be 13th and not in the tournament, or 5th. Nuts.
Yep.
Chaos.
Yeah, but right there, I just switched Indiana from 0 to 3 wins, and boom, Indiana is in 6th. Yep. So how the Michigan series goes will depend a lot on will help determine the seeding.
Yeah.
But I also, I'm not know that I'm all that concerned about seeding because you're playing in one of those early games anyway, and there just isn't. I don't know that there's really a huge, because the top four can shuffle all over the place in this last mm-hmm. week. Because of that, you don't know who you match up with based on that, and in the end, that's just about a matter of whose pod you get into. And I don't know that there's really.
They have to worry about what pod they end up in with us. That's what they're worried about.
Yeah. I will say the 6 seed playing Tuesday and then Friday is a little rough. And yeah. And 8 seed as well playing Tuesday and Friday.
Yeah, for personal reasons, well, also the team might like to have Friday off. Might be a thing. But yeah. Other than that,
right. That was the only scenario that stood out as, ooh, that'd be not the most ideal ever, but also not the end of the world.
Yeah, exactly. You're gonna have to go there, and you're gonna have to beat 4 good baseball teams, 4 different good baseball teams.
Yep.
That's that's what it's gonna require, and what order you play them in, all that other stuff is, you know, kind of less important. Yep. Google does this to me again. 2 podcasts in a row, it signs me out. Okay, I'm signed back in. This time I didn't panic as bad this time. Okay. So I do want to address one thing because I thought this had been put to bed, but I've now seen one outlet describe it in detail, and I've seen, and it was even brought up on a national podcast about the possibility still of Indiana getting an at-large bid. And most of the evidence came back to, well, let's take a look at last year. Indiana had a 55 RPI, and because Scott Dolson was on the committee, Indiana got the at-large bid. And so I find myself, fine. It had been a couple, it had been since the Iowa series, and I went back, like, you know what? I'm going to go run my model again and just see. And frankly, the model's gotten worse since then. Basically, the way I've got it is if Indiana completely runs the table, and actually it's worse than that now that the Cincinnati game's been canceled, it takes away, that was a huge RPI game for Indiana. That game is gone now. That game has been canceled, so there's no game Tuesday night. So without that game, it's even worse. It's probably 60. And that is if they win three games in the Big Ten tournament and lose to UCLA in the finals, best they're looking at is a 60 in RPI. And it's like, well, they were like 55 and they didn't get to the finals last year. Well, there was a couple other differences. I think there was a quality weekend in non-conference last year that national media was in attendance for. That was a big deal. That was a big piece of that whole to look at the team. They were pulled down by a couple of really bad losses. There was more wins. There were more quad one wins. There would be if they were to run the table, but the one thing they were talking about was, well, Michigan. Well, if they sweep Michigan, Michigan's not going to be quad one anymore. That's just it. They're quad one right now, but getting swept by Indiana will eliminate that from being a thing. Yes, they would beat a couple, probably get a couple quad one wins at the Big Ten tournament if that came about. But then you're looking at like three and four. Mostly, though, I went through the RPI, and there's two things that really stuck out to me. Last year, there were like four teams in the top 45 of RPI that were SEC or ACC teams that did not make the tournament because of how bad they did in conference. That's not the case. The teams in the SEC that are doing poorly in conference are also struggling in RPI. Texas A&M's almost down to 60 now. So there's only one that would even be considered, and quite frankly, as long as Mississippi State wins the Missouri series, they're probably in. They're probably safe and okay because they're going to be at like 14 wins in conference. So Mississippi State's probably in at this point. And I looked at the ACC. There's nobody in the top 45 that is in the RPI top 45 that's underwater in the ACC. The other thing to look at is last year was a remarkably smooth year in that there were only two stolen bids. That's not typical. There's probably going to be five or six stolen bids. Water usually finds its level. So, I mean, realistically, you probably target about four stolen bids. There were less stolen bids than there should have been last year than a typical year. That factored into the mix. Then there's also a third piece, which is I really feel that Scott Dolson, as the AD, he's the Big Ten representative, more so than he is the Indiana representative. And he's going to have some significant Big Ten things to fight for outside of Indiana. If Iowa gets a share of the title, he's going to have to fight to get Iowa in because Iowa's RPI is just not sitting there. Quite frankly, Michigan and Nebraska have better cases than IU right now. Now, that may change if Indiana takes the series at Michigan, but even still, Nebraska's looking at a pretty good case if they can really win out and get their RPI up. But then you also have a Big Ten that's on the bubble of hosting, and that's in UCLA. So I think Scott Dolson's biggest concerns will be getting as many teams from the Big Ten in, and I'm sorry, there's a few other teams that have better cases than IU that are on the wrong side right now, and getting UCLA a hosting spot. Well, actually getting UCLA and Oregon hosting spots. Actually, I think Oregon's looking pretty safe to host at this point, but you've got Oregon and UCLA, potentially two hosts out of the Big Ten. I think that's going to be more of a focus for the Big Ten's representative on the committee versus one team that's sitting at about 60 in RPI. Indiana can just make this easy on him by winning the tournament. Go get that automatic bid. Make it a no-brain. Make it a can't argue. Make it it's obvious you're in because you won the tournament.
Be one of those bid stealers.
Exactly. Is it there needs to be more bid stealers. Indiana needs to be one of the bid stealers.
And I'm perfectly fine with screwing over a not great SEC or ACC team that otherwise would get in.
So with all that, and again, we all have different opinions. I'm sorry, I just don't see it. I don't see the at large portion of this. And yes, I will admit I said the same thing a year ago, and I really changed my tune, but I think I've got better numbers this year, and I think there are some significant differences between this year and last year that we'll see. And if it became a thing, if Indiana really does run the table and gets to the last day and loses, but I honestly think there's a better chance that Indiana runs the table in Omaha, wins those four games in Omaha, and gets that automatic bid. And I think that's what the team needs to focus on. Okay, so we've discussed the standings. We've discussed Indiana's getting into the Big Ten tournament. We've discussed the one NCAA path, in my opinion. So now we will go ahead and turn to the final week of Pick'em. It has been a tight race all year. It's not a tight race now. Zach has pulled ahead. Zach went 5-2 on the week. Chris made a jump and is now tied with Cass for second because of his 4-3 week. But Cass, you went 2-5 on the week. That was
Yeah, it
a
was bad week.
rough week. Josh also went 2-5, rough week for him. With that group, I actually don't feel too bad going 3-4. That was Hey, I picked Maryland. I was happy about that.
And I figure if all of us were wrong on two of them, I don't feel bad on those two.
Those were two surprising series. I mean, it was actually kind of surprising that we all picked Rutgers, but it wasn't surprising we all picked USC, but it was kind of surprising we all picked Rutgers. But yeah, and those, yeah, those were the only two that Zach picked wrong were the two that we all picked. So that's why Zach has a 4-series lead with only 7 series to go. But we will announce Zach's picks last. I have Zach's picks. We'll announce those last so that nobody can do any funny business. I've already been technically eliminated. It's very likely most of us will be technically eliminated after we announce Zach's picks, but we'll find out here to be sure. So I will go first since I am already out of it anyway. I'm picking Rutgers at Maryland. I am picking Maryland. I've got Illinois winning at Ohio State. Big surprise. I've got Nebraska winning at Purdue. I have Michigan State taking their home series against Minnesota. I do have Oregon taking the big series at Iowa. I've got UCLA taking the series at Northwestern. And I have USC going to Washington and winning that series there. Okay, so next up, basically I'm going to go in low, in the current order right now. So next is Josh. Josh has Maryland, Ohio State, Purdue, Michigan State, UCLA, and Washington. And then in the big series, he is taking Oregon. All right, Josh is five series behind Zach. Okay, Chris, what are your picks?
All right, let's see. I went Maryland and Illinois for the first two, Nebraska, Michigan State, Oregon. I think Oregon's going to sweep them. I think this whole thing has been, and they would hate, I mean, I would hate if I was an Iowa fan, but I could, the whole thing will be gone. They'll get swept. They won't even make the big tournament. They won't even win the big regular season. UCLA I also have, and I have USC over Washington. So my first chance to ever finish in the top three since however long we've been doing this, as I've been watching here, though, since we started talking about the pickups, the Knicks went from down 10 to down 5. So maybe that was a good sign for the Knicks, and maybe I could finish in the top three in this. So I don't know. It depends. I made up a little more ground last week, so we'll see.
Cass, your picks.
Okay, I am going Rutgers, and of course the series that's functionally meaningless for IU is the one that I'm like, that's a toss-up. I don't like either of them, and I don't trust either of them, so I'll keep going Rutgers because I had them wrong last time. Maybe I'll get them right this time. I'm going Illinois, although I was so close to picking that Ohio State with the home field. For some reason, that's where they beat teams. Going Nebraska over Purdue, Michigan State because home field. And I mean, they just took out USC on the road, so they can do it. And Jirwa. I'm going Iowa with home field advantage. That is an incredibly tough ballpark to win in as a visiting team. So I'm going Iowa, going UCLA, and I'm picking Washington. I think that one's going to be close, but I'm giving them because home field.
Sorry, I messed something up when I was recording this. So, okay, can you go back to Nebraska?
Yep. I'm doing Nebraska at Purdue.
Okay.
Michigan State, mostly because home
Right.
field
Yep.
advantage, Jirwa, all that. Iowa,
Okay.
because home field advantage.
Okay, I've got it.
UCLA and
Yeah, I've
Washington.
got you now. Okay. Sorry, I just want to, because I want to be able to announce if we
There's a
have a
winner.
winner, so which we may very well. Let's see here. Okay, so let me pull Zach's picks off to the side. All right, so Zach has a four series lead, so he would need to be different than either Cass or Chris in four series, or Josh with five in order for this to still be a contest. He is taking Maryland. Illinois, Nebraska, Michigan State, Oregon, UCLA, and Washington.
Dang,
Okay,
I'm out.
so
Yeah,
Cass has
that's
three
too
different. I
easy.
have one different.
I had
Three.
two different.
Oh, I thought you had three different.
Nope.
Nope, just two different. And yeah, you said, Chris, you only have one different.
Yep.
And then Josh.
Oh, I see. You're right. Cass, me and you have three different.
So we got a battle there for second place, but Zach is our Big Ten Pick'em champion. So
Jeez. Congrats,
congratulations to
Zach.
Zach.
He's
He
the new
clinches
guy.
it a week early.
Yes.
I guess the rest are starters for the playoffs.
Oh.
So yeah, so no sophomore slump for Zach. The
Thank you.
sophomore has taken it.
Oh, yeah.
Congrats to Zach. All right. Well, Josh, Chris, and I will be in Ann Arbor this weekend. going to take in that series. Chris, what can you tell us about Tracy Smith's Michigan Wolverines?
All right. They are 32-19 overall, 14-8 at home, and 15-12 in conference so far. We got the three games. It's not your normal Friday, Saturday, Sunday because of the Big Ten tournament, and they want an extra day off. So it's Thursday at 6 p.m., Friday at 6 p.m., Saturday at 1 p.m. from Ray Fisher Stadium. All games are on the Big Plus, you know, the streamer. So that's gonna, how you're going to be able to watch that. You check out Carl's blog or Twitter or, you know, the Indiana Bay site, of course. Now, Michigan is coming off of losing 2 out of 3 to Nebraska. Okay, but the whole series was played in like a 5-run window. They lost 3-2, they lost 5-2, they won 3-1. So, I mean, that could have been a sweep for either team if you really look at it. Two of their big hitters, Mitch Voigt, and then we all know him. I feel like, is he like a super duper senior or something? I'm not sure how many years. I think he has 2 kids. You know, he's like 40. I'm not sure. He's hitting 357. He has 122 total bases. 65 hits, 12 bombs, 53 RBIs, and he's stolen 14 out of 16 bags. Another offensive name, Ben Casillas, he's hitting 414. He only has 105 total bases. You know, poor him. 48 runs scored, 75 hits, and he has 19 doubles. So just to compare that, like Malamazian has what? 17 doubles, and it seems like he hits a double every day, right? This guy has more doubles than Malamazian does. So those are your two bats to really look at. For the pitching, they started, they started to have a full rotation, like not even like a real starter rotation. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, they kind of bunched the Sunday out for a freshman from Canada. About it looked like maybe April 7th or 8th. So the Friday guy they have is Kurt Barr. He's 6-4 with a 3.49 ERA. He's a big righty. He's 6'3". He's actually from Ontario, Canada, also. You're going to find out later the Sunday guy is from Canada, too. And these guys average like 6 innings a game, 7 innings a game. Like, they're real starters. It's not like, you know, the college way now. Their Saturday starter, David, I'm going to pronounce it Lally Jr. His last outing, he threw 101 pitches against Nebraska. He pitched into the 9th inning. He got an out. He did lose the game, though. You know, that was one of those close ones we were talking about. He's a big fella, 6'5", 215, got the heater. Good slider, they said. He's 4-4 with a 4.52 ERA. And then the Sunday guy, the one they made the switch on, he had already been 4-0 coming out of the bullpen. And this is actually Tate Carey. He's from Ontario also. We thought he was going to be coming. He was on Will Moore's team that came and played us at the BART. And I remember Coach Mercer being excited that we were going to get to face this kid because he's legit. But then he went to some like other thing, and he didn't get to play against us. But this guy seems legit. He's 8-0 now because he's got the 4 wins out of the pen. And since he's been put in the Sunday spot, he's 4-0 with a 3.49 ERA. So, I mean, they've got arms. They've got big arms. They've got guys that can go deep in innings. You know, this is going to be a challenge. You know, we got to get him out of there. We got to lengthen them. We got to take pitches. We got to use our approach. You know, this is not going to be an easy series. Teams are very similar when I started looking at the schedule. Like, we both got swept by Iowa. We both took a series against Purdue. We both lost a series to USC. We took one from UCLA. They took one from Oregon. So, really, the biggest difference is why they're ahead of us is because they won their Illinois and their Penn State series, and we didn't. So, even coming down to just those two Sunday games makes a big difference. Weather looks good. Does it ever. 79 on Thursday at first pitch, 83 on Friday, 75 on Saturday. So, I mean, if you're in town, if you're close by, I mean, this is going to be some baseball weather to come check it out. The last times you can see the Hoosiers play before they're in a tournament setting. Couple other things about the team. They have 6 guys that have 10-plus doubles. They have 4 guys with power bats. They didn't have to 10, but to 8 home runs. So, and you know it's Tracy Smith. You know they're fundamentally sound. You know that they're going to be taught the game well. They're going to have good baseball IQ. They're going to run the bases well. They're going to make the cutoff to the right guy. These are all things that are going to happen. So, pressure is going to be on us to play that same way, you know. But Mercer could still send everybody. That's okay. I say send everybody. Let Coach send the whole series. I think we really should. No, but Michigan's a good baseball team, right? And I think they've played better than us this year. The stats say it. But now's our chance to go head-to-head with them, right? And now if the whole season is going to come down to this podtastic Big Ten thing, why not go in there on fire? Why not go in there after beating these starters who can go 7-8 innings, right? Due to 101 pitches. That's big time. When's the last time one guy threw 101 pitches into the ninth inning? It doesn't happen, you know? So it was impressive to even just do the research on these guys. I don't like Michigan. I'm not a Michigan guy, but this is a baseball team. And this would be a great start and a great get ready for this podtastic Big Ten tournament. If you're going to the games, some Michigan alumni you might run into. I don't know if you guys are familiar with Full House, but if you remember Joey, Michigan alum, okay? I can't speak for Uncle Jesse, but Joey could be there. For those swimming enthusiasts, Michael Phelps is a Michigan alum, so he could be at the games this weekend. And Rich Hall and Jim Abbott. I know Carl knows Rich Hall, but Jim Abbott could also be at the games. And two current major leaguers before I wrap it up, Jake Cronenworth of the Padres, Jeff Criswell of the Rockies.
All right. Okay. So let's now kind of turn into our overall discussion. And as I've been doing lately, I'm going to pick on Cassidy. So the pitching staff for IU is really coming together over the past few weeks. Cass, how encouraging is this to you?
I mean, to me, the newer consistency in the pitching staff means that this team's ceiling becomes what can the bats do? And given the power in these bats and how well they've hit for the large chunk of the season, that's great going into Big Ten tourney. That we know that this team can hit the best of them. They have hit some of the best pitchers in the conference. Some of them the best pitchers in the country. So if that becomes the new measuring stick, that's huge. If it's the pitching staff's not going to give up more than 4 or 5 runs in a game, I, by and large, trust this offense to generate at least 6 runs each game. We've been saying it for years. That magic number is 6 or fewer runs from the pitching staff, and they've been doing it lately. 'Cause even in the rough game against Purdue, they still only gave up 7 hits. And the four earned runs, just one walk, no wild pitches, one hit by pitch. Like, pitching staff did it.
Yeah.
That struggled.
And weirdly enough, you go through a lot of these games, and that's what it comes down to, is the bats haven't dug the pitching out when they have done bad. And they've also had a couple of outings where, you know, some guy throwing a low slop from the left side with an 85 mile per hour heater just seems to completely flummox this offense for a few innings. And I felt better about how the offense played, particularly Friday, that they did as well as they did on Friday without hitting a home run, with the wind blowing in, without hitting a home run. Because that's more of what they're going to be likely going to see in Omaha.
It's Omaha.
Yeah. But it's not always like that. I mean, I've seen the ball fly out in Omaha, too. So
absolutely.
It can.
I'm just not going to stake any hopes on it.
But I'm cautiously optimistic about this style of pitching continuing to work. I do think it's a little bit better that you're not dealing with the the wind blowing out type situation, because I think that IU is particularly susceptible to those long balls. I mean, you have a guy like Gavin Siebold, he seems to be either absolutely fantastic or he can't keep the ball in the yard, one of the two. And overall, he meshes to being okay. But the truth is, there are times when Siebold is just outstanding. And we'd love to see that be the Siebold that shows up in the Big Ten tournament. And that was the Siebold that we saw this past weekend. Like you said, the pitching did their job on Saturday. It was the
Well,
bats
in
that
all
couldn't.
three.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a solid effort. And they also did very well away from home in Abilene. But again, that's probably not, neither one of those are the level of competition that they're going to be facing in the Big Ten tournament. And to Chris's point, that's more like what we're going to see Thursday through Saturday, is that level of competition. They could end up being in Michigan's pod, the way things could shake out. So
Yeah.
that would be a little weird, though. You play a team in a series and you immediately turn around and play them again in
Before.
Chris, your thoughts?
Well, I mean, I think Cass nailed it. The pitching just did the thing. Jared had put out, whoever part of the media team put it together, 1.80 ERA for the weekend. I mean, you think you would sweep that series, but we did leave a lot of guys on base. Several times, more than one runner. Was it second and third? Where was it, less than two outs? We were susceptible to that. And, whether it was strikeouts or ground outs, we just didn't get it done. But the arms were not, and the arms have taken a lot of heat, this season. And some of it was warranted, some of it was. You're going to give up a sixth running in a third inning, eight runs in the fourth. That was not this weekend. They pitched well. Just Saturday, just couldn't get the hit. And learn from it, move on. I'm glad the bats certainly showed up on Sunday, especially late. And we just go at it. I mean, this is it. This is the season. It's what it's come down to. I would hope they're going to take this weekend very seriously. I wouldn't look at it as, meaningless. It's what happens in the Big Ten. I don't know if you can turn it on and off that quick, and I wouldn't try. I would want them super focused for these three and then just roll the momentum into the Big Ten tournament.
Yeah, where I could see a letdown happening is not from the way the players are playing, but it may be how the pitching is deployed. There may be some decisions to not push guys simply because they need to save their arms for early the next week. I could see decisions like that possibly happening, particularly Friday and Saturday, where it's like, okay, we'll put this guy out here, but we may need him on Wednesday, so he may be. They may put him on a hard. They may put a guy, even like Gilly on a hard pitch limit because.
Well, that, yeah, but I wouldn't be emptying benches out and stuff. I wouldn't be like, this isn't a participation trophy weekend. I
Oh,
would think.
the right.
offensively, no. I'm strictly talking about pitching, and there also may be a need to possibly roll the dice on some guys that they haven't used in weekends. And that's my biggest frustration with not having the Cincinnati game, because Cincinnati was, in fact, a better opponent than the Big Ten competition Indiana's been playing lately. It
Right.
really would have been nice to see Darren Swanson get a crack at that offense. That's my biggest disappointment in losing that Cincinnati series, is that Swanson doesn't get that shot. And that may mean that they're going to have no choice but to give Swanson a shot against Michigan, just to see because he struggled a little bit when they tried to use him in Big Ten play. I'd be curious to see what it's going to be like if they use Swanson, which also could come into play if Indiana ends up in Oregon's pod, because Oregon has a massive Achilles heel. And that is, they do not do well off of left-handed pitching. So every lefty for Indiana may have to come into play. But also, if it comes out to, well, maybe if it turns out that they're not in Oregon's pod, Indiana wins their pod and has to play Oregon on Saturday, that may be a situation in which Darren Swanson may need to see action. So there's some things that could be interesting, and I think they may want someone like Swanson to get a shot in Michigan.
So
I
do you,
also could be completely wrong, but
well, I was going to say, do you think that, so say IU comes out, does their thing on Thursday, gets the win, and UCLA beats Northwestern. Do you think they, I'm not going to say that they're throwing any other wins out the window, because the goal is always to win. But do you think we start seeing a few different pitching deployments than we otherwise would
Oh,
to get
absolutely.
some of these guys that time?
Yeah, and all you got to do is go back to 22. The Iowa series, the series at Iowa in 22 was and at no point in that series did they have it locked up. It was not a guarantee, and they did it anyway. Now, they had less options than this team does. This is a deeper pitching staff than that pitching staff was. That pitching staff was a little bit better at the top. I mean, that was Jack Perkins. You had that was I'm not to say anything bad about the current, but I'd say the overall depth and that the size of that second tier group is a lot better now than it was, because it was, you know, basically you had Perkins, Bremer. I mean, you still hadn't, you know, Yoho wasn't really completely Yoho yet at that point. We were just starting to see the really good Bothwell on occasion at that point. So it was, and there just wasn't a lot after that. I mean, this is, they kind of started that season thinking that Madunio was going to be the guy, and he just wasn't. So, I think there's a lot more options now. And I still, and then the point is, I think you're going to see all those guys. I think you may just see them for 30 to 50 pitches instead of, you know, 50 to 70 pitches like you would normally. So I think that's all we're talking about.
And maybe
And
in
it's,
different orders than
yeah, and
we
it's
were
also
promised.
possible that Tracy Smith is going to make similar decisions. So,
True.
because in many cases, these teams are in the same boat, particularly if Indiana wins that first game. You know, Michigan may decide, hey, it's just better to get the pitching lined up for the tournament, because it's do or die there, and it's most likely not going to be do or die in Ann Arbor.
Unless Northwestern does something crazy.
All right, Chris. I saw we had a major Hoosier on Hoosier crime committed Sunday. So,
I mean, sometimes they got to face each other, Carl. I mean, it happens. We got so many Hoosiers in the majors now.
yeah.
You know, we had the Sal Frank Schwarber World Series matchup. And now we've had for 2 nights in a row the Heron Schwarber Cubs Guardians matchup. Now, the first one, not a lot of people, you know, if they saw it, if you saw the posting and everything, but it wasn't on Sunday night TV, you know, national TV. But yeah, Heron buzzed him pretty good and then ended up walking him on Saturday. But on Sunday, the big fella got him. Oh my, he crushed one. And, you know, Heron had to wear that one. It happens. But, you know, and listen. Just the fact Josh put it in the text there, like, can you believe this is even happening? And it was kind of how I felt in the World Series when it was Sal Frank and Schwarber. Like, you know, these are guys that we've seen play. I just saw Gorski against my Mets before we started here. It's 2 outs, it's two on, and I'm like, oh, I know he's going to crush one in Citi Field. He ended up striking out, but I figured he needed a bomb like where people don't even ever hit it. But you know, quarter break on that one, I guess. Just a couple of quick highlights. I know this week's way more about the situation our current Hoosiers are in, but just to hit Schwarber, he's been on base 46 games in a row, and through 40 games, he has hit 14 home runs and leads the National League. And the year that Clue led the National League through 40 games, he had 13 home runs. So there is a chance that Schwarber can pass his record. Let's see. Cade Bunnell got a promotion to AAA. And then we watched Malamazian walk off Purdue. I remember Bunnell doing that on like a midweek game and then walking off Purdue in like an extra innings. That was beautiful. Gabe Bierman, 13 consecutive innings now without giving up a run. I think we don't even realize he's in the wrong league because he never gives up any runs or hits. Connor Foley, 4 innings, allowed just 1 hit. Nick Mitchell and Scott Efros started rehab assignments. So hopefully we see them back on the field soon. And we have 2 young men, well, they're getting a little older now, but that continuing the fight, continuing the dream, playing some independent ball, Tommy Summer and Braden Scott. And I just think it's great that these guys continue to just fight through. We saw Tommy Summer playing the WBC. Braden Scott's been playing for the Evansville Otters for a bunch of years now. And just you know what? You're not in the major leagues. You're still playing baseball. You know, when it's your early 20s, when do you want to go be an accountant? Like, you're playing ball. I think it's great. And sometimes I get more of a kick out of telling you that they are still playing independent ball than a guy who's been sitting in high rookie A and probably should be in double A. So those are our little pro Hoosier update. I hope we have some more, you know, positive current Hoosier baseball news the next couple of weeks. You know, let the season extend a little bit longer, and then we can focus more on the pros, maybe a little highlight podcast or something during the off season. But let's focus. Let's do what we have to do in Michigan. Take it into Omaha. I mean, why not us, right? There's plenty of times we go to these Big Ten tournaments and we're like the 2 seed or the 4 seed. Da, da, da. We never win, right? And then it's some rando Ohio State team who was like the 8 seed that wins it. Or some team that wasn't even supposed to, you know, and they win it. Maybe this is all you had to just win it. We weren't supposed to.
All right. And then after the season, once we do get to that point, this is going to be one of the more interesting draft summers that we've had in a long time. So we'll be looking forward to that as well.
Top pick, first pick, first round. You know, he could go anywhere. I've seen him draft DT anywhere from, say, 6 to 26. Mm-hmm. So there's a large gap there. You know, maybe second round. You never know. But just knowing that we have a guy named Corbin Dickinson coming out of nowhere, KD, could be a top 3-round pick.
Yep.
That's what people are saying.
Yep.
And to think the guy was a pinch runner for Louisville last year. They got a lot of good pinch runners that Vanderbilt in Louisville team, huh? I tell you. But no, KD has been great. You know, yeah, big time draft. We'll see where our guys go. And it's just so fun to just follow them through. I ran into the Tibbetts family at the BART this weekend, and his parents said he likes it. You know, some guys get to the minors, they don't like it. The first thing I always ask a parent, how does he like it? But sometimes they just feel like, you know, alone and in the buses and they're not with their friends. So they've been playing ball with their friends for the past 8 years. Mm-hmm. And now they're in Sawtucket, Mawtucket on a bus, you know, and the language can be a barrier in some of these low minors. You know, there's not too many English speaking folks. So I always check in. How does he like it? And I heard Brock eating it up. Loves it. He's got a couple of good teammate buddies and just loves playing ball. So it's really fun to watch these guys as they move on.
Excellent. All right. Well, Chris, I will see you in Ann Arbor. Cass, it was great to see you this past weekend. And we may hopefully do a little high five as you're coming to Omaha.
Yes. Fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed that will happen. So thank you for listening to this episode of Talking Hoosier Baseball. For more on Indiana University Baseball, hit up iubase.com. For Cassidy Palmer, and Chris Feeney, I'm Carl James, and congratulations once again to Zach Horwitz on his Pick'em Championship. And while it won't be this season anymore, we will definitely at some point see you at the BART.